Let's put it on.
Put what on?
The last suit you'll ever wear.
Make this look good.
Well, yeah. Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
We're putting the band back together.
Forget it. No way. We're on a mission from God.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yep.
We're getting the band back together up here. You may have noticed. Hi, kids. I want you to come up here and I want to talk to you about, a couple of things I got here in my hand, one of which I had earlier, and my costume, and you guys are dressed in costumes too. Hey, America, Captain, where's your shield? Oh, okay. I brought something up here I want to show you, and it's not this.
Can I see
you? You can sit right there. I need somebody who is old enough to read. Are you old enough to read? Okay, that's good. Now, I brought this in here. Now, did you see me come out earlier? Who was I? Darth Vader. I thought about wearing the Darth Vader hat on the when I came out as an angel, but I didn't know whether he actually made it or not. And anyway, I brought this out here. This is my son-in-law's. And what is this?
A lightsaber.
A lightsaber. It's kind of like a sword, isn't it? But it's very sharp, isn't it?
It's actually very hot.
It's very hot.
It's gonna burn through.
Okay. Well, I brought something else here. Now we'll. I want you to look at this, too. This is what? This is a real sword, except that this sword is what you call an ornamental sword that you hang on the wall or something. It's not very sharp, and it hasn't been honed and worked on to make it really sharp. But it's heavy. You want to hold it? Feel how heavy that thing is. So you got to work out. If you're going to use it in a battle, you better take your time. Now, it's heavy, isn't it? These things. Well, I'll tell you what. Just take their word for it, that it's heavy. One of the scriptures that I have this morning for the part of the message is that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So, in other words, Paul talks about the Bible being our weapon that we use. Now, I got one little scripture I want people to read, for you to read here. Who wants to do this? Okay, I want you to hold the book. Now, turn the lights off. Now, I want you to read verse 119 there. Can you see it?
No, because
uh-oh.
There's no light.
There's no light, so you need a light, don't you?
And God said, let there be
light. Right there. Can you read it now? Right there. Start right there. Go up to the top of the thing where it's got this, there.
The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
That's good. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Now, you could not see that if I turn this lightsaber sword off, right? You can't see it. But if I turn it on, you can read it. The word is a lamp. It's like a light for my path, right? And you can read it. It's still dark out here, but you can read it. One of the things, you can bring the lights up now. One of the things about the Word of God is that we live in a world that's pretty dark. And sometimes we need the Word of God to help us see our pathway and the environment in which we live. And I'm actually going to talk about this in the message this morning. Now, you guys aren't going to go to kids' church over there this time. You're going to stay here because I'm going to talk to you. How many of you have ever seen the movie E.T.?
Me.
Some of you have. Okay, those of you who haven't seen it, find a parent or a grandparent and make them rent it for you. And sit down and watch it with them, okay? And if you've seen it, after I get done talking to you today and your parents and everybody else out here, see what you think about watching it again, because it's really the story of Jesus, okay? So you're not going to kids' church. I'm going to do kids' church in here, and we're going to let the adults listen, okay? How's that? And Miss Pam's over here, and she's going to kind of gather you all up if you want to. Now, if you want to go back to your parents, that's okay, right? But if you want to stay together as a group, you can stay right here. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you bless these kids, cause them to grow in stature and in favor with God and man, be their shield and protector, and cause them to grow in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up. Okay, I just gave the first three pages of my sermon, so you should have paid attention. If you didn't, you missed it. Okay? I've got to have a bulletin because I got to know what I'm doing next. Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through the movie E.T., but also through the Gospels as they speak to us about this. And I ask that you would bless us with clarity in thought and also imagination. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about a principle of life to the Christian life today, the power of parables and the secrets that they hide in plain sight, and the gospel according to Hollywood in the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial. Now, first the principle of our living as God's people who know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and we're in that process of making Him Lord of our lives, this book, the Bible, is the one book that most Christians don't read. It's kind of like Thanksgiving is not the only day we don't give thanks. And yet, if you do read it, it's the one book that will read you. In many homes, it is a book that gathers dust on some table or on a shelf someplace. And yet we are told by God, the prophets, by preachers, by Jesus, that we are to study and absorb the knowledge and wisdom and principles of living from it. In the Old Testament, Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And I just had a young lady up here read that to you, Merle, and it gives us scriptures. Now, I've got a whole bunch of them from Psalm 119 here that we're going to read together. So let's read them together. All of them speak to us about the Word of God, the Bible. Now, if you turn the lights off, you can't read it unless you have a lightsaber Bible. So let's read them. Here we go. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and observe thy word. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to thy word. Remember thy word to thy servant, in which thou hast made me hope. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep thy words. My soul languishes for thy salvation. I hope in thy word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy words. Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. And in Ephesians right there, it tells us that the word of God in the Bible is our weapon. Let's read it together. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace, besides all this, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible is our weapon. But a lot of us don't have any use for it, that weapon. Therefore, we get defeated by the world, Satan, or by our own sinfulness. And in the Star Wars movies, the Jedi are spiritual warriors for good. And in their training, one of the most important things that they do is they fashion their own weapon, their own lightsaber. When you fashion your own weapon, you know it. You know its balance and its strength. In the military, one of the basic training exercises is tearing down their weapon and putting it back together again. In battle, you better know your weapon. The truth is, most Christians have Bibles that are ornaments more than weapons. And so, which are you? Are you a parade grounds Christian with a parade sword as an ornament, or are you a trained disciple with a weapon that you understand and you know how to use it? Now, I've been working with the Bible a long time. I fashioned my own weapon. It even has my initials on the front. So that's the first principle for the day, the weapon. The Bible is your weapon. You better know it and be trained as to how to use it. The second thing I want to show you is that Jesus used parables or stories to make a point. And most of the time, there was a secret principle in that parable that was hidden in plain sight. Let's read Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 12 and 22 to 25. Here we go. And when he was alone, those who were about him with the 12 asked him concerning the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should be turned again and be forgiven. For there is nothing hid except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Now, he would tell these parables, these stories, they're kind of like pictures to show the people the truth. And this particular passage is actually concerned with the parable of the sower and the seeds and the types of ground that people are when it comes to receiving the Word of God in their lives. The great truth is that God hides things in our everyday lives, and if we aren't paying attention, we miss them. He hides truth, and we are encouraged to pay attention so that we can see it. This is why Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Which brings me to the modern day parable, the story that is a picture of Jesus. Now, whoever wrote it definitely knows the gospel, a story of Jesus. And those who don't know Jesus or the Bible will only see a great story. It was a great movie, but they miss the essential truths that are present in the story. And that movie is E.T. It's a modern day parable. And it shows you the essence of who Jesus is and how we react to him. Now, if you aren't familiar with the story of Jesus' life, as shown to us in the Bible, you will just see the movie as entertainment only. E.T. is one of the most successful movies of all time. It was in the theaters in 1984. I didn't have the technology back then that I have now, but it's the story of an alien, and the truth is entirely an allegorical story of Jesus. If you want to know, E.T. is an allegorical story of Jesus. And I would guess that millions of people who had never entered into a church flocked to see E.T., and they were emotionally moved by it. I remember one time standing in a grocery store line and some woman was singing its praises about how heartwarming the movie was and how it wasn't just for kids. And I should say not. Let me use my weapon, my lightsaber, if you will, my Bible, and show you the story of Jesus. The first thing that E.T., he comes down from heaven just as Jesus was sent from heaven. John 6:38, which you have in your bulletin, Jesus even says that he comes from heaven. Let's read it together. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. E.T. is also loving and understanding and caring. He's even empathetic to the point of telepathic. And in fact, in the movie, the other E.T.s were talking, but they were not talking, but communicating by telepathy. As I say, he communicates by telepathy, even. And so what he does is, even though the communication is by telepathy, he learns to communicate with Elliot here and to talk and communicate like us.
You sure you have the right, Elliot?
And bottles of wine, and boxes, and
B is for boy, with a baseball and bat, who with one mighty blow, knocks everything
flat. Good.
And banjo, and birdie, and bottles.
Good.
Okay, I'll be right down. Thank you. Birdie, I have to go pick up Elliot. Will you be a good girl and
stay? Mommy, he can talk.
Elliot.
What?
Elliot.
I taught him how to talk now. He can talk now.
Elliot.
Look what he brought up here all by himself.
Elliot.
What's he need this stuff for?
Elliot.
E.T., can you say that? Can you say E.T.? E.T.
E.T. E.T., E.T., E.T. Be good.
Be good. I taught him that, too.
You should give him his dignity. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Phone.
Phone? He said phone? He said phone?
Can't you understand English? He said phone.
Home?
You're right. That's E.T.'s home.
E.T. home phone.
E.T. phone home.
He actually humbles himself. He becomes like us. He is actually, the kids think they're teaching him, but he's teaching the kids. He becomes like us. Read with me Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself unto death. He also, if you don't, he says, be good. That is something I'm not going to go into, but he says it. E.T. performs miracles such as levitation, telekinesis, and flying. He didn't walk on water like Jesus did, or calm the storms, or drive out any demons, but he flew and he performed other miracles.
Wow. He knows what he's doing.
Listen how he's breathing.
It's going to work.
What's he feeling now?
He's feeling everything.
Peter walking on water with Jesus. He also heals the sick and he raises the dead. Jesus healed many people. He raised the dead. In keeping with the fun of the movie, though, there was a scene at Halloween when E.T. thought there was an ouch, but it was really a Halloween costume.
Mom, you can look now.
Thank you. E.T. is ugly, but what he does is he steals our hearts. Jesus was described like E.T. actually in Isaiah 52:13-15. It's a description of the Messiah and is a prophecy concerning Jesus. It kind of describes E.T. Let's read it together. Behold, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. As many were astonished at him, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the sons of men. So shall he startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they shall see, and that which they have not heard they shall understand. Now that's a prophecy of Jesus, or we usually read it at Lent or Holy Week. Once again, the Bible used as a weapon shows us the story to present the one who comes down from heaven. Actually, the world is after him, but it's not to be in relationship with him like the kids are in relationship with him. He is not treated as an equal, but the world is after him to study him, to lock him up, to dissect him. And in the movie, the government is portrayed as evil and threatening because of their desire to control the situation. Faces, just that threatening thing. Also, only the children recognize E.T. for what he is. And you know, it says, Jesus said, you can only come as a child to enter the kingdom. The reference to the childlike faith is obvious, including the one where the kid's mother didn't even see him when she was right there in his presence.
Boy or a girl?
He's a boy.
Was he wearing any clothes?
No. But look, you can't tell. Not even Mom.
Why not?
Because grown-ups can't see him. Only little kids can see him.
Give me a break.
Then, do you know what's going to happen? If you do that,
what are you doing here, Sir Gallant?
Here he is.
Where's it all?
Man from the zoo, but I think you killed him already.
Honey, just as soon as I unload this stuff, okay? Med bugs.
I want you to meet somebody.
This stuff has gone up so much in 1 week.
I want you to meet somebody.
Okay, honey, as soon as I get finished putting all this stuff away, all right? Oh.
There's also a reference in there. You saw the three kids and the star in the background, a reference to the three wise men. And he was born without any clothes on. And so he does that. Only the children recognize him. E.T. also suffered the diseases of the earth. I'm sure that the disease in his sickness was an allegory on the sins of the world. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquity.
Don't know him!
He has one priority in life, and he lives and works to talk to the other world from which he came, E.T. phone home. This next one here really parallels the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus took his disciples there. Just like in the Garden of Gethsemane, Eli couldn't stay awake, like the disciples. I have Matthew chapter 26 printed in your bulletin. Let's read it together. The reason I make you read this is because these are parts of the scripture where they're actually taking stuff. Here we go. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Again for the second time he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, thy will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. It looks very much like the Garden of Gethsemane there. Eliot couldn't stay awake. Then he is found spread out on the rocks like he had been crucified.
Here. You gotta find him, Mike.
Where is he?
In the forest. The bald spot. You gotta find him.
Bald spot, I think, is like Golgotha, the skull, in terms of this. Anyway, he's spread out on rocks, looks very much like he's crucified. He dies, and he's placed in a freezing tomb.
Complexes are slow and widening.
How's the boy? He's converting back to normal sinus rhythm.
They're separating.
Yes,
boy,
definitely separating.
What does that mean?
The boy's coming back. We're losing.
break a stool. Feel my breath.
Ooh, they're gonna die.
Shut up, Greg.
Something is definitely happening.
Does anybody have any ideas?
Okay, I'm gonna call it.
No, I think he's dead.
I don't know.
All right, I'm calling it. What time do you have?
15:36.
15 hours, 36 minutes. Okay.
He died at 15:36, which is 3:36 in the afternoon, and Jesus died around the ninth hour, which is sometime after 3 in the afternoon as well. And he comes back to life from his icy grave, and then he rises from the dead. He takes his disciples and the kids to the ship where he gives the words to Gertie, and I'm not going to show anymore, but he says, be good. And he says to Elliot, I will be in your heart always. And then there's even the promise of his return. You want to show number 15? Missing from this movie is the Hallelujah Chorus, and this world is still looking for the Christ, even though he has already come to us. And you could, people out there in the world say, what a great story. What the story? Well, it's the gospel story. It's about that one who came down from heaven, who took on the sins of the world, who died for us. The kids came to him all the time. Only children could get into the kingdom of heaven, and so it goes. And we live, move in this troubled world together, and what of God's love are we able to share to people who lead lives of quiet desperation? What, when people look at you and people look at us at our church, what do they see? Is our very life a proclamation, a living word for God? Can't always tell a book by its cover, nor a movie by its story, or a person by, well, an outside costume they're wearing. So I suggest that you read your Bible. Read it for fun, for study, struggle with it. Pray that God reveals new things to you through it so that you can fashion your own weapon. I saw all this back in 1985. I just didn't have the technology to do it until now. So let me end with one thing that has to do with, well, Halloween.
Be back 1 hour after sundown, no later.
Oh.
Hi.
Gertie.
Which is it this morning, trick or treat? I don't know. You'll have to determine. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We'll be doing it by intinction.